How are you today? Come on, God bless you. It's a blessing to be here with you guys, and we're coming from San Diego, and and we're just really blessed to come and worship. It can feel the hunger in the room, and it's so good, because as we travel to different places, it's different cultures, different experiences, but being with you guys is like, oh, this is like home. Everyone's hungry and wants to worship God. You feel at home with people who love God. So it's really a blessing to be here. We honor your pastors and just grateful we got to hang out with them on Friday and Anna and where's your husband? Igor, where is he at though? Oh, there he is. Okay, awesome. So it's great being able to spend time. And so just really grateful to be here. This is my awesome wife, Rochelle. She was playing the drums over there. Come on, somebody.
Thank you guys so much for having us. I really, really appreciate it. We have come from San Diego, California, and we have two little guys. So they are, 7 years old and 4 years old. So they're rambunctious, wild. Everything about a boy is them. So we leave them. I don't come and travel with Andrew, but it's amazing today. We get to be here with you guys, and it's hard leaving the boys, but then like coming here, we're so blessed to be here. So I just want to say thank you so much for having us, and we look forward to just praying, releasing what God has for you guys, like prophesying, and I just feel like you guys are going to get really, really blessed today. So I am excited. I'm very excited. God is on the move here in this place in Transformation Center, and I'm just excited to see what God has for this area, this region, and he's going to do great things. So very, very blessed.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to pray for you guys a bunch at the end of the service, and then tonight we're going to lay hands on everybody. We'll probably lay hands on everybody every service. Come on, somebody. But tonight for sure. And so, you know, bring your family, bring your friends, bring everybody, bring your enemies, all of them. Just bring them out. And I just believe God's going to do. I just want to make mention of these books that we have. And we have CDs of music in the back, or else you can go online. And if you don't, because some people do CDs and some people don't. You know what I mean? But you can get all the music online or in the back there. And I wrote a book called Fierce Peace, and I released it this year. I had an encounter with the Prince of Peace. I was praying. I walked into a wall of the presence of God, and I said, basically looked to see what would God want to say to me. And I looked, and I saw this man standing in armor, and he had a sword stretched out to me. And his sword came on my chest. And I thought, Lord, if this is you, I shouldn't be standing. I should be on my face. But I couldn't go forward because there was a sword on my chest. So I went back and laid all the way on my back. His sword followed me down. And he said this to me. The Lord said, don't ever call my peace passive. And then he turned around, and with his sword drawn, I was laying on the ground. He turned around, and with his sword drawn, he stood guard and protected me. And I realized I had experienced Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, where it says that the peace of God that surpasses understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And I began to realize, wow, this is what God was speaking to me personally, but I believe it was a word for the church as well, to say, listen, there is fear, there is anxiety, there is crazy stuff going on in the world, but we don't have to be subject to it. We have the Prince of Peace who will stand over our hearts and minds and protect us from hostile invasions of fear, anxiety, sickness, disease, you name it. How many of you know there's crazy stuff going on in the world today? But guess what? We have a greater king. We have the Prince of Peace. We have the peace of God that stands around us and guards us, so that even though we live in a world that has trouble, we get to walk in peace. How many would say amen to that? We get to walk in peace. And so I think, Pastor, you already had this. I saw it on the seat somewhere over here. Who would just say, you know what, in this last season of your life that you just felt like, man, there's definitely been battles with fear or just different trouble that's gone on in your life, and you really need the peace of God. Who would be honest to wave your hand and just say that? Okay, you raise your hand first in the black shirt. Yes, yeah, yeah. Can you stand? Actually, just come up here. Come on. Give her a hand. Joshua 1:5, what does it say? It's on your back. It says, you've got someone standing beside you that's stronger than the one standing against you. Wow. Okay, so that's the book right there. Just the shirt. You can get the t-shirt and the book. But here, I'm going to give you this. Tell me your name.
Lorray.
Lorray, here, hold this. And then give me this hand. I'm going to hold your hand real quick. Lord, we thank you for Lorray. We thank you, Lord. Just like the back of her shirt says, that she's got someone stronger holding her back. I thank you tonight. Today, what's today? Is it noon? I don't know what time it is. Lord, we thank you that today that someone is standing and her backside and has her back and protecting her back. And I do feel like in this season, there is almost like, it's almost like I could see different, it's like backbiting. People might be saying things behind your back and things like that. But it's like Jesus is standing behind you, that no matter what words may come against you, no matter what words may try to tear you down, it's like Jesus is standing at your back, protecting the things that you cannot see. It's almost, I don't know if this makes sense to you, but I feel like this last season, it's felt like, I don't know what's going on. There's different things going around, but I don't know what people may be saying. I don't know. And it feels like there's little whisperings in the background, if that makes sense. But I feel like the Lord's saying, I'm standing at your backside and I'm going to protect you from the things that you don't see. I'm going to protect you from the things that you don't hear. And God says in this season, just lean into me. Just lean into me. And just like David, the scripture said that David took his refuge in the Lord. God says, just take refuge. Just hide yourself in me. Hide yourself in me and I'll fight the enemies that are too strong for you. Your job in this season is not to fight back. It's not to try to defend yourself. Your job is to hide yourself in God. Find the secret place of prayer. Find the secret place of worship. And I'm telling you, God's going to fight for you and God will deal with all the trash talkers. And it doesn't matter what they say or what they do because they don't tell you your identity anyway. God does. So I just declare God is for you. God is not against you. God is for you. And if God is for you, who can be against you? We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on. God bless you. That's you. That's for you. Come on. Come on, give her another hand. She's prophesying with her shirt today. That's awesome. I have another book called Carriers of the Ark. The Ark is the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament where the very presence of God would dwell. And in the Old Testament, the priests, the Levites, would carry the Ark upon their shoulders everywhere they would go. If they moved from this place to that, then the priests would put the Ark, they would have poles, you can kind of see them right here, and they would carry this Ark upon their shoulders everywhere they would go. And it's a picture of what is in the Old Testament. It's a picture of what's in the New Testament. How many know the Bible says it's Christ in you, the hope of glory? The Ark of the Covenant, the very presence of God came to move within the believers. So now we're not just trying to experience God from the outside in. God actually moved inside of us and lives with us. And the priests carried him on their shoulders, but we carried God within us. How many would say amen? And this whole book I wrote, and this will work for every generation, but I wrote this book because I was a young adult pastor for, I don't know, maybe 10 years. And we raised up a generation of people. We called them, our tagline was raising up and commissioning revivalists. And so they would go to their campuses and we would go to the university campus and we would minister. And through this, over the last, and I've been following Jesus for 20 years, at this point, maybe 18 when I wrote this book, 18 years, I put everything pretty much that I felt like was really important to be a person who carries the presence of God. What are the qualities of a person that should carry the presence of God? And obviously there's surrender to the Lord. There is worship. You live a life of worship. And then there's supernatural signs and wonders that follow your life everywhere you go. And so I just believe that God in this hour is raising up the youth and the young adults and hello, praise God, I'm 38. I know I probably look like 17 or something. Come on, somebody. But I'm 38. Sorry, I make fun of myself. I don't even know what's happening. Okay, so lost my train of thought. But I believe God is raising up the next generation to carry his presence. And I believe that there is something that unique that God is doing across the board in the church. But I believe here uniquely, God is doing something really special with the young adults and the youth. I saw your guys' prayer meeting you had on Friday. I snuck in on the Instagram, and I saw you guys were going for it, crying out to God. I'm telling you, maybe that's normal for you guys, but that's not normal everywhere that I go. When young people are getting together and praying and seeking the face of God, that's not normal. Maybe they're going to get together and have a pizza party or play some games, which is not bad. But what I'm saying is, to have a group of young people who come together and seek the face of God and start praying, crying out to God, that's not normal everywhere. That's extraordinary. And that means God's doing something special in your church. How many would say amen to that? And so I'm going to, again, all these books are out there. I want to bless you with this book. Tell me your name again, because I know we met out there. Asulamika. Sulamika. Oh, Lord, help me. Here, come up here. Sulamita. Got it. Sulamita. Come on, everybody. I know. Sulamita. Here, grab this. And just give me your hand. I just put your hands out like, here, let's put the book up there. Put your hands out like that. Yeah. Lord, I thank you for the Holy Spirit coming on Sulamita. And I thank you that you have marked her for this generation. And I feel like the Lord says, I'm going to bless you with this book and all that stuff, but I feel like the Lord says that you are one of the leaders in this next generation that's going to help take the charge. And I see you as like the tip of the spear, breaking ground for the next generation, breaking ground for the youth. And God says your passion and hunger to seek God in a secret place is now going to begin to be made public. And God says in this next season, what you've invested with God in the secret place, God's going to begin to reward you in the open place. And I feel like you've had encounters in the secret place. God spoke to you, even sermons and messages. He's given you visions. He's given you, like, you've been dreaming with God in the secret place. And I see you like going in like in your imagination with the Holy Spirit, and you're seeing yourself heal the sick. You're seeing yourself minister to people. You're seeing yourself almost like pulling people out of wheelchairs, like all these type of miracles coming through you. And I'm telling you, God says, yes, it's going to come and it's going to happen, because God's marking you today as a leader for this next generation. And I'm telling you, there's going to be a multiplication of youth. I see like a whole like line coming behind you of youth and young adults. They're going to follow behind you in your footsteps. And I'm telling you, there's a generational blessing and there's a favor that's come upon you as well, because you've chosen to set yourself apart. And there's also from your parents, there's a blessing, because they cried out to God for you for many years. Even before you were born, they began to cry out to God, raise her up as a revivalist, raise her up in this generation, mark her for this generation. And God says you're about to step into the fullness of those prayers, and God says you're about to step in the fullness of promise and destiny. I'm telling you, it's like today is like crossing over the Jordan, and this is your transition to start stepping into promise. And I'm looking at your hands, because God's anointing these hands. And watch as the you're going to start feeling like power start coming in your hands, because it's the healing anointing that's coming right there. You feel that? That's power coming in your hands, because God's marking you with the healing anointing. And I'm telling you, power. I feel like, yes, all the other gifts too, like prophecy and all the words of knowledge, but there's going to be power gifts that come through you. Power, working of miracles, the gift of healing, and the gift of faith. The gifts of healing, the working of miracles, and the gift of faith. God's going to he's putting that in your hands right now. And you're going to begin to feel this power go, it's going to go right up your arm. Watch this. Take that in Jesus' name. You're going to feel that power go straight through you. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Now just take 6.5 years of fire and glory in San Diego. Take that right there in Jesus' name. Right there. From the top of her head to the soles of her feet. Right there. I'm telling you, 6.5 years of the spirit of revival is coming on you right now. Take it. Yo, take it in Jesus' name. Woo. Thank you, Lord. Woo. Just stay right there. And I thank you for the angel of the Lord. This is crazy. This is your day today. I feel like the angel Lord's coming alongside of you to stand with you. Ooh, hallelujah. And he's adding more to you. This is like, this whole service is like, almost like it's for you. Because God is anointing you and equipping you. And I'm just telling you, you're going to fill this whole room with young people. Like when you do youth group events and youth ministry stuff, this whole room is going to be filled with young people. And it's going to be because power came out of you. It's going to be because they experienced the power of God. And so, Lord, honey, why don't you just come and lay hands on her. And Lord, we just thank you for that fresh anointing. More, Lord. More. More, Lord. More, Lord. Woo! Thank you. Today is a marking. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God. I just thank you, Lord, for the heart, God. I thank you, Lord, for the heart, God, that wants to serve the people. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I just thank you, Lord, that just there's a heart inside of you that wants to serve people. It's like a passion. It's like a burning inside of you to serve and like to just be like, I'm lifting the people up. It's the people that need to be lifted up. It's the younger generation. It's the kids, like the generation. And so we just thank you, Jesus, for this heart, God, inside of her. And I know that you're going to just do it, God. And I thank you, Lord, that she's going to be the one that carries the torch. And for this time, God, it's for this generation, God, that she is carrying this torch. And so we just thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. It's the weight of the glory of God. It's like the presence of God is like resting on you. And it's like God is saying that you are the one that's carrying the Ark of the Covenant. It's like the presence. And so we just thank you, Lord, that she will release it, God, to the children and to the kids and to this next generation. She's going to release it, whether it be to peers or the younger ones, God. We just thank you, Lord, that she will carry it.
Yes.
And until that torch gets passed right now is like the torch that's in your hand, and you will carry it. And so we just thank you for the fire of God that just is an all-consuming fire that consumes her, God, in every single way, God. And I thank you that she will burn, God. She will burn for you, but she was going, I just see that you're going to just make disciples, and the other kids are going to have the same hearts that you're going to have, and it's going to be this fire inside that cannot be put out. Yeah. And so we just thank you, Jesus. Fire, fire, God. Fire on the altar must never go out. And so we just thank you, Jesus. It is being ignited, and it will not stop, God. In the name of Jesus, we just thank you, God. Thank you, Father. All of it, God. Release it.
Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Woo. Thank you, Lord. Come on, give Jesus a big hand. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Take your book. God bless you. So exciting. Wow. That's really good. Amen. I'm telling you, tonight, we're going to lay hands on everybody. And I believe God is going to activate people in gifts of healing and working of miracles. And it's not going to be just so we can do it here. It's going to be so God uses you in the streets everywhere you go in your life. How many know, let me just say this. And actually, this will be the official start of the message, okay? So, but we're just going to keep going with the flow of the river because that's how we roll. But I believe God is raising up an army. And this is the message that I feel like the Lord is bringing. He's raising up an army, and he's asking you to be a part of it. You're a part of the army of the Lord. And God wants to do that not only here, but I believe all over the earth, God is raising up an army of believers to bring his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, to stand against the things of the enemy, and to release salvation, healing, and deliverance everywhere they go. How many would say, I want to be a part of the army of the Lord? Come on, tell the person next to you and say, I'm going to be a part of the army. I'm a part of this army. And God wants to raise you up. So tonight we're going to go even more after that. But one of the things that I know about armies is they do a few things. And we can go down a whole list of them. But at least a few things. They do training. And they get like serious training. They go to what's called boot camp. How many know, have you heard of the boot camp? Where they put you through all kinds of stuff. And what are they doing at boot camp? They're strengthening your muscles. They're strengthening you so you can stand in the warfare. And then one of the things that they do, I have a bunch of friends who are in the Marines. My grandfather was a Marine in the United States military and went to Vietnam and fought there and the whole thing. And so they got to go through all that. But they not only train them so they have the endurance physically to do the battle, but they do something. They call it breaking them. they break them and they kind of, in a sense, strip them of their past identity and they give them a new identity. They tell them, this is who you are now. You are, you know, and Marines don't like to be called soldiers because they think, whatever. Okay, I don't know if there's any, is there any Marines here? Okay, just checking. So they don't like to be called soldiers. They feel like that's not like the best title for them because they're Marines. Hoorah. So because they like feel like a little higher up. Okay, the point is God is raising people up. He trains them with physical training, but then he also does an identity shift. So this is what I believe God is doing because I fully believe that God wants to raise up the army of the Lord here today at Transformation Center. And we're going to go after this tonight as well. But I believe that there is not only the physical training aspect, but there's the identity because what they do is they break them of their past in the Marines and the military. They break them of their past identities and they give them a new identity. You once were this, but now you're a Marine. You once were this, but now you're a fighter. You once were this, but now you're a soldier. And this is what I feel like God wants to do. He wants to strip us of our old self, of our old identities, and clothe us with his righteousness and tell you, you may have been an orphan, but now you're a son and daughter of the King. You may have been, you know, you've sinned and fallen short of the glory, but now you're forgiven and set free. You may have lived your life like you were worthless, but now you're valuable. You are highly prized before God. You are chosen. You may have felt you were rejected, but now you're chosen. You may have felt that you were abandoned, but now you're embraced and accepted by a perfect Father. And one of the things that armies have to do is they have to have confidence. The Bible says it like this, and I'm going to turn to a few scriptures, but the Bible says this in Proverbs 28 verse 1. It says that the wicked flee though no one pursues, but the righteous are as what? Bold as lions. Someone say lions. The righteous are as bold as lions. And this is what God is calling us to do. We're not called, now, I guess in one sense, Jesus is our good shepherd and we're the sheep, but the sheep aspect of our nature is not what we're going to war with. You know what I'm saying? We're like, let's go take the world. You know, we're not going out like that. We're going like lions. The lion of the tribe of Judah is our leader and we're the lions underneath him. And we're going out to take territory, to roar prophetically into the land and take back what the devil stole. How many would say amen to that? This is what God wants to do. He wants to raise up a generation, the army of the Lord, who are fierce warriors who walk in confidence. And I believe God wants a whole generation to start demonstrating the power of Jesus Christ. Paul went to this church in Corinthians, and this is what it says, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. He says, My message and my preaching were not with persuasive words of man's wisdom, but he said, but it came with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Someone say power. And why? He said, why? This is 1 Corinthians 2, verse 5. He said, so that your faith would not rest on man's wisdom, but on the power of God. On the power of God. God wants to raise up a generation who walk in his power, who carry the ark, who carry the presence of God, who know who they are. Their identity is settled. They're bold as a lion because they know they're righteous of what Jesus did for them at the cross. And they walk demonstrating the power of God everywhere they go. And this is what I believe God wants to do is use us. Whether we go to school, whether we go to work, whether we're walking to the grocery store or in the gas station, God wants to use us to release his power. And so, you know, I was in Malawi, Africa with Jeremy Nelson back in May a few months ago. And as we were ministering on the streets, we began to just share the gospel with people. Walk up to people and ask them, hey, do you have pain in your body? And they would tell us yes or no. Sometimes they would tell us no. And then I would have to diagnose them by the Holy Spirit and say, one lady I said, hey, is there any pain in your body? She says, no. And God showed me there was pain right here on her neck. I said, what's up with your neck? Well, she says, well, I do have pain there. And I'm like, why you got to lie to me then? So we go up and I pray for her. The pain totally leaves. So I'm like, praise God. We blessed her. And I walk over to a place where there was a barber shop and a young man comes out and this young man was Muslim by religion. And so I said, Jesus loves you, man. He wants to forgive your sins. And And then he wanted to start arguing me about the divinity of Jesus and have a religious debate on the streets of Malawi. And I said, no, thank you. I'm good. I don't want to argue. Jesus loves you and he wants to forgive your sins. I just sidestepped the argument and began to preach the gospel to him because how many know the gospel is powerful? The simple message of the gospel can change people's lives. So I just began to preach again. Jesus loves you. And then I asked him, I said, can you heal the sick? And he said, no. And I said, okay, well, you know, we've seen miracles and whatnot. A guy walks into our conversation while we're talking, and I looked at him. I said, you have pain in your back and in your knees. And I said, let me pray for you. I tapped his knees, bam, bam. I tapped his back, and I said, be healed in Jesus' name. And then I said, go ahead, move around, test it out. And then I was like, is the pain gone? And he said, yes, the pain is gone, brother. And I was like, ooh, praise God. And he moved around. I looked back at the Muslim guy and I said, can you do that? And you know what he said? He changed his mind. He said, oh yeah, we could do that. I'm like, no, you can't. Get out of here. You just told me 2 minutes ago that you could not do it. And now that I did it, you wanna argue with me about it all. I'm like, no, get out of here. And I was nice, but I said, get out of here. And he went back to his barbershop. And what I found there in that moment was that someone with an argument is at the mercy of someone with power. Someone with an argument always has to listen to someone with power. Because you can argue me all day long, but when you pray, does your God show up? Can you heal the sick? Can you cast out devils? Can you cleanse the lepers? Can you raise the dead? Because all I know is not only do I read that in the scripture, we've seen that happen in our lives everywhere we go. We see the deaf ears open up. We see pains leave people's bodies. We see demons come out of people. And those guys have an argument, but we have power. Come on, somebody. We have power. And God doesn't want us to just talk about it. The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk. It's a matter of power. Everyone say power. Power. We are meant to walk in power. And God wants to raise up an army who demonstrate the supernatural power of God everywhere we go. I was getting gas at Costco I think it was maybe June. And I look over at the lady who's working there. And God starts showing me she has pain in her neck going down her back. And I said, and I kept looking. And I'm like, I'm sorry for being creepy. I know I keep looking over there. But God, I walked up to her and I said, I'm going to ask you a question that no one's ever asked you before. She said, what? I said, do you have pain going here and going down your back? She said, yeah, I do. And I was like, well, Jesus told me, and I prayed for her. The Holy Spirit moved down her back. She could feel the power of God just going down her back. And it was powerful. And I said, you guys ever seen anything like this? Her and her coworker. And they said, nope. And I said, Jesus is doing this to you today because he wants you to know that he's real and he wants you to know that he loves you. And guess what? They have to deal with that the rest of their lives. Whether they follow Jesus or not, they have to deal with that. Because at the end of the day, we can't force people to say yes to Jesus and follow him, but we can demonstrate the reality of God everywhere they go, everywhere we go, and other people have to make a decision what they're going to do with that. Are you with me on this? This is what the army of the Lord is called to do. We are called to demonstrate that God is real. And how does it happen? Well, some stranger came up to me, told me what was wrong with my body, and then put his hands on me, and the power of God touched me, and I walked away healed. And he said it was Jesus. They have to deal with that. This is what God wants to do. And I'm going to go into that a little bit more tonight. But here's where I want to zoom in on. Is this whole area of having confidence as the army of the Lord. There's a couple things we'll get to, and maybe if I don't finish now, I'll finish later. But this is what I believe. Not only do armies demonstrate the power of God, but armies, they walk in confidence because they know who they are. They know who they belong to. They walk in confidence because they got their identity from God. Are you following me? We got to know who we are. Because honestly, going out and laying hands on the sick and prophesying to people that you don't know, we need to know who we are in order to do that kind of stuff. Because it's a little intimidating to walk up to people that you don't know. But if you know that your God is for you and not against you, and God is behind you helping you, then you're going to have some confidence when you walk up to people and say, if you reject me, it doesn't matter if you reject me, because God already accepted me and you can't take that away from me. I've been rejected by tons of people, but guess what? I'm still accepted. I go to places, and I talked to some guy on the beach yesterday, all the way in Oceanside. You know where that is? Like way on the coast where there's the big rock and the cliff. We were walking on the beach and people were like walking around, looking on the ground, picking up rocks. I said, what are you guys doing? And they said, we're rock hunting. I was like, wow, is this what you guys do over here in Oregon? You rock hunt. And I guess they find some really cool things. They polish the rocks. They have this whole thing. So I started talking to this guy. And I said, man, do you believe in God? And he had this whole argument. And he wanted to do this. And then I'll talk all this stuff. And he had so much stuff to say. Rochelle's waiting for me. And this guy's just like, like, trying to tell me why it's not a good idea to believe in God. I'm like, dude, I told him, I believe in Jesus because he made himself real to me. And he loved me. That's why I gave my life to Jesus 20 years ago. And then I see him do miracles all the time today. And then he wanted to argue me all day long. I talked to people everywhere, and guess what? He rejected my message. I said, dude, Jesus loves you. And he wants to have a relationship with you. And he just started talking to me, all kinds of stuff. Guess what? I didn't walk away going like, oh no, he doesn't like my message. I'm like, dude, it's sad for him. Not sad for me, it's sad for him. He's the one that's gonna go to hell. I'm not. That's really sad for him. And I'm kind of saying that lightly, but it's a real thing. Like, if he doesn't accept Jesus, it's really bad for him. He had a chance. He didn't take the chance. I don't feel rejected. I feel sad for him. I don't feel sad for me. I feel sad for him. Are you following me? We don't have to feel sad for ourselves because we already are loved by God. We're going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. But we feel sad for them because they're the ones that are rejecting the message. I don't get rejected if people reject me because I'm already accepted by God. Oh, hallelujah. That's really good. But what's the point? I'm gonna get into this. We need to find our identity in God. We need to find our security in God. Because if not, then our whole lives will be an emotional roller coaster. Because one day someone will like us, and the next day someone won't like us. And if we get our source of identity from other people's opinions, then guess what? Then one day we'll be good when they like us. And what happens when they don't like us? We crash, and then we can't walk in confidence anymore because we chose to get our identity from someone's opinion that is always changing. But the truth is, God's view of you never changes. Amen. Okay, I want you to turn. Oh, there's so many places. Eventually, we're going to get to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, so you can turn there if you want to, because I'm gonna read a passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 6. But I want to tell you something about something that I found in the scripture when I was studying the word one time. I was reading in the Old Testament. Are you guys with me? Are you good with me? Okay. I was reading in the Old Testament in the book of Judges. I'm going to get to 2 Corinthians 6 in a second here. I was reading there, and I found this really intense passage. And it's in Judges 19. If you've ever read through the Bible, you'll be familiar with this. But if not, trust me. It's in there. I'm going to quote to you a lot of scriptures today. You just have to trust me that I read the Bible and it's true, and I can quote it to you. Judges 19, a very cruel and disgusting thing happened in scripture. I'm going to try to make it G-rated for the sake of everyone in the room, but I promise you it's all in the scripture. A man was traveling through the town called Ephraim. He stops in the town. And he needs a place to stay. So a man opens his door and says, hey, come and stay. But what happened was there is these really gross men who came to the door, knocked on the door. And I'll just say it like this. They asked, hey, who's that man? And it's like Sodom and Gomorrah, where they knocked on the door. We want to sleep with this man. And already right there, you know, this story's going really bad already. They knock on the door. We want to sleep with this man. Instead of the man coming out, the man sends his wife out. His concubine, he says, oh, just take my wife. And without explaining the details of the moment, they did with her what they wanted to do all night long. And the man came out in the morning and found her basically dead on the doorstep. It's really intense, but I promise you there's a point. Find her on the doorstep. he ends up taking pieces of her and sends them to every 12th tribe, one of the 12 tribes of Israel, to let everyone in the other parts of the nation know what a vile thing that just happened in this city. What ends up happening is there ends up being a civil war, and they begin to start breaking out and fighting against each other, and total chaos breaks out in the nation. Now, you can read the story later if you really want to know all the stuff. It's not really worth describing. It's in Judges chapter 19. But as I was reading, I saw at the footnote, it said about those men at the door that they were corrupt or perverted men. But it had a footnote in my Bible. I looked at the very bottom, and it said that they were called sons of Belial. And I thought, I recognize that word. I don't know where I've read it before, but I'm interested. So I began to look in the scripture, and I began to find this name Belial all over the scripture. Now, you're going to have to follow me on this because I'm going to take a tour through the Bible real quick. You good with following me on this? I see it said sons of Belial, and I said, that is interesting. I looked in another passage in Deuteronomy 13, verse 13, and Moses is speaking to Israel, and he says this. He says, corrupt men are going to come in amongst you and entice you to serve other gods and to leave the true God. And the word for corrupt men had the same footnote. I looked in the footnote, and it said, sons of Belial. And I said, okay, this is interesting. I fast-forwarded to 1 Samuel chapter 1. This is 1 Samuel chapter 1. This is in verses 15 and 16. I promise you it's all there. And if you remember the story of a woman named Hannah, and she was praying that she might have a baby because her womb was barren. She wanted to have a child. You guys are familiar with that story? The Bible says that she was crying out to God, praying to God, saying, God, I need you. God, she's wanting to have a child. And the Bible said that the priest Eli saw her kneeling down before the Lord and crying out to God, but her prayers were just like a whisper because she was so desperate she had exhausted herself in intercession. And Eli looked at her and thought that she was drunk. And she tells the priest, he says, no. She says, don't count me as a wicked woman. That's not me. I'm not getting drunk here at the temple of God. Guess what the footnote says when it says wicked woman? Guess what the footnote says? A daughter of Belial. And I thought, wow, every time I see this, I promise you it's all there. If you have the old school King James Bible, they translate it as Belial. You fast forward the chapter one more time to 1 Samuel chapter 2. And the sons of Eli, which were the priests there, he had two sons, and they were wicked. The Bible says that the sons of Eli were wicked men. And then they began to do things. They slept with women in the tabernacle, and they stole money from the offerings. How many know that's a pretty wicked thing to do? The Bible called them wicked men, and you would guess it that at that place where it says corrupt men or wicked men, guess what the footnote said? Sons of Belial. Every single place I begin to look, every time this name Belial shows up, massive corruption happens. Every place. You look at Belial here, Belial there. So the first one, you would see, you saw a civil war breakout. You saw murder. You saw sexual immorality. People being enticed to go serve another god. You see drunkenness. I mean, that's a pretty bad list right there of corrupted things that are happening. But every time Belial shows up, all these corrupted things happen. And I begin to go, okay, God, what are you saying through this? Because I'm on this trail reading through the scripture. And I began to look at, what does the name Belial mean? Because in scripture, names always have a meaning, and it has to do with their function. It has to do with their destiny, their purpose. Like Jesus, the name Jesus means Yahweh is salvation, or the Lord saves, because that's what he came to do, is save people, save them, heal them, set them free. And so you look at scripture and you go, okay, names have a meaning. And Belial, does anyone know what the name Belial means? Yes, it does mean wicked, because that's what it's translated as. But here it is. The name Belial means worthlessness. It means worthless, worthlessness. And God began to speak to me, and this is what I began to see, that if you believe that you're worthless, you find it normal to do worthless things. That your belief about who you are determines how you will live in this life. If you have no value for yourself, then you will begin to do corrupt things. And you will approach life from a corrupt point of view. You guys follow what I'm saying? If you believe you're worthless, you do worthless things. And everywhere I saw this Belial show up in scripture, there were some really corrupt things happening. Why? Because there was a spirit at work, and the spirit is called the spirit of worthlessness. How many can see in the world that people who do crazy things, it's probably because they don't value themselves, and they are projecting that rejection on everything else in their environment. They treat their thing and life around them they treat life around them with no value because they have no value for themselves. Are you with me on this? We're teaching for a moment here, and then we're going to go into praying and ministry. As I began to look at this, I began to realize that spirits in the spirit world, talk about spiritual warfare, spirits in the spirit world, they're always trying to project their assignment on everybody around them. So for example, when I was younger and different times we would experience, people would have a spirit of rejection. Have you ever been in a situation where you walk up to somebody or you meet somebody new, but you automatically kind of just don't really like them and you kind of want to turn away from them? Not because you know anything about them, but because there's something about them that is kind of like they want you to reject them. Has anyone ever experienced that before? You don't know them, but you want to reject them. You have no idea about their life story, but you just want to reject them. That is because there is a spirit of rejection on them, and that spirit is putting into the environment, telling everyone around them to reject the person. How many understand what I'm saying? But on the other side, we host the Holy Spirit. And when my wife and I were dating, she hosted the Holy Spirit, we hosted the Holy Spirit. And just so you know, our first kiss was when we got married. After we said I do, and my pastor said, you may now kiss your bride, that was our first kiss. Why? Because we were hosting the Holy Spirit, and we wanted to be holy before marriage, so that way we would sow good seeds into our future and honor the Lord Jesus. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And so we lived a holy life. But the reason why is because she hosted the Holy Spirit. And so for me, maybe you know this song, MC Hammer, Can't Touch This. We just knew that like we're not going to mess around before we get married because we're hosting the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is putting into the atmosphere purity, righteousness, and holiness. And so we weren't going to mess around before we got married because we're hosting the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has righteousness, and Holy Spirit gives value to us. So we don't have to try to get value from each other. We get it from God, and then we give value to each other in the sense of I will value my wife, she will value me, not because we're trying to take from each other, but because God gave us value, and now we're able to give it to other people. Are you following me? But the problem with society is that in the world, there is a spirit of worthlessness. And people are treating themselves worthless because they believe they're worthless, and they get into relationships and they treat the others worthless because it's how they believe about themselves. Oh, I feel like I'm preaching now to somebody. I had to get through all that teaching part to get to this. How you believe about yourself is how you're going to treat every other person in your life. And I'm telling you today, if we're going to be a part of the army of the Lord, we are going to have to learn how to value ourselves, but it's not going to come from ourselves. It's going to come from God. We need to know what God says about us. We need to settle inside because the righteous are as bold as lions, but the wicked flee, though no one is pursuing. That word in Hebrew for wicked means somebody who thinks they're guilty and they think that someone's chasing after them, but in reality, nobody's chasing after them. The Message Bible says that the guilty are ridden with shame, and they basically are getting chased around. And I'm telling you, one of the main things that's going to stop this generation from rising up as the army of the Lord is that spirit of worthlessness. Because it's going to tell you that you don't have what it takes. is going to tell you that you can't do this. It's going to tell you that you're going to fall on your face. It's going to tell you that you're going to mess up. It's going to tell you, oh, you know, you already did mess up. And that spirit's going to remind you of all the stuff that you did in your past. And what does that do? It steals all your strength so you can't walk out as the army of the Lord in confidence. The righteous are as bold as lions. But people who are guilty, they're running around trying to hide from everything, even though no one's even chasing them. Are you guys following me today? We're teaching the word today. And so this is what I found, that spirits are always trying to project into the environment their assignment in life. Now, this is where I'm going to get to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. If you have a Bible, you can turn there. But 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, it says this, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers." And then listen, "For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness?" This is 2 Corinthians 6:15. "And what accord has Christ with Belial?" Uh-oh, the name showed up again. It says, "What accord or what unity does Christ have with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God." What is he saying? He's comparing opposites. He says, what connection does light have with darkness? What fellowship does righteousness have with wickedness? What connection does a believer have with an unbeliever, or the temple of God with the temple of idols? And then he compares, what agreement does Christ have with Belial? Some people say that's just another name for the devil, but we just saw in scripture all throughout the Old Testament that Belial is a spirit on assignment trying to make you believe that you're worthless. But if that's true, then that means if all of these are opposite, light is opposite of dark, wickedness, righteousness is opposite of wickedness, then Christ is opposite Belial. And if Belial is trying to get people to believe that they're worthless, how many know what Jesus has come to do is get us to believe that we are valued with the highest value. We are loved with an everlasting love. We are chosen by God before the foundation of the world. This is the mission of Jesus, to show you how valuable you are, to show you the highest price that he paid. Belial comes to tell you you're worthless because he knows that if he can get you to believe that you're worthless, then you will live a worthless life. You will never shoot high because you don't think you can get there. You'll always shoot for low. You won't be like, I know I can go to the heights. Someone told me this. When I was younger, I used to do this campus Bible study. And they went around the room and they said, "What do you want to do? What are your dreams?" And I told everybody, "I want to preach the gospel like Billy Graham." And I think that's a pretty cool ambition. You want to know what happened? The whole room laughed at me. They all laughed at me. And I said, "Thanks, guys. Thanks for being so, these are like all my peers." Because I'm like, I want to preach like Billy Graham. Billy Graham filled stadiums and thousands of people gave their lives to Jesus all over the world. I'm like, I want to do that with my life. And they all laughed at me. And the leader of the group, I was a worship leader, and then the leader of the group looked at me and he said, "Oh, Andrew, you're just shooting for the stars, huh?" And in my mind, I'm thinking like, I'm gonna slap you right now, fool. Like, because you're trying to, I'm going, because I believe God can do something great in my life. If you want to live a low-level life and just shoot for low level, you know, not doing anything great with your life, do that for yourself. But me, I'm going to do great things for God. I believe God's called me for greatness. God's called me to revival. I'm going to change the world. By the time I breathe my last breath, thousands, if not millions, are going to get touched with the gospel of Jesus through my life. And I'm not saying that to boast or be proud. I'm saying I'm going to do great things for God while I live. How many would say amen? You want to do some great things for God. But if you believe you're worthless, you ain't going to do nothing. How many know you can only receive how much you believe you're worth? You can only receive how much you believe that you're worth. If I came up to somebody and had a $100 bill and began to hand it to somebody, would the first thing that comes out of your mouth be, "No, no, 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 you don't have to. No, 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 you don't, no, don't do that." How many would that? Okay, you don't have to raise your hand. I'm telling you, or if I had $1,000, I had 10 $100 bills and I just wanted to hand it to somebody and say, hey, God wants to bless you. No, 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 brother. No, I don't deserve that. Yeah, that's why it's called a gift. Because God wants to bless you. But right there in that moment, you show how much you believe about yourself and how valuable that you believe you are. I'm telling you, God wants to use, I'm prophesying now. God wants to use everyone in this room to do great and mighty things for God. And I'm hoping that everyone actually believes it and we all step into it. But I'm telling you today, God wants to do great things. But if the first thing that comes to your mind is, I don't know how, I can't, I don't, and all of these negative statements trying to disqualify yourself, then we need to put this worth message right in your heart. So you know, no. God chose, you didn't choose God. God chose you. You didn't, God wasn't like, it wasn't like, oh, you choose me? Oh, therefore, no. He chose you before the foundation of the world. And God wants to use you to do mighty things. I'm telling you, as a younger person, I always dreamed high. But then when I began to start seeing it, it began to deal with all of this stuff in my mind and my heart of, oh, wow, I didn't think I could do this. I didn't think I could minister. I didn't think I could see. We were in the Navajo Nation with the Native Americans not too long ago, and we saw four deaf ears open up. Bam, bam, bam. We saw the kids getting slain with the power of God. Demons coming out of 12-year-olds. It's crazy what they've gone through, but God began to move in powerful ways. And I began to go, what? God, you're using me. Because 20 years ago, I had to deal with all these confidence issues and lack of self-worth. But God, if he did it in me and has given me confidence, he wants to do it in you. And here's what's going to look like. I'm telling you, oh, it's going to be good tonight. I'm telling you tonight, many of you are going to come up and many of you are going to prophesy and many of you are going to begin to lay hands on each other and you're going to heal the sick. And if there's anything in your mind that says, I can't and I'm not good enough and I don't know if I can do this, too bad, because I just gave you this message this morning. And tonight, we're going to just choose to believe the gospel. We're going to choose to believe what God says about us, regardless of what we think about ourselves. I'm telling you, and here's the last verse. This is the way that Jesus lived his life. And then we're going to pray for you guys. If you have a Bible again, you can turn with me, 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to just read it here. 1 Peter chapter 2, here we go in verse 4. I'm just going to read a few of these verses. It says, we're coming to him as to a living stone. He said, this is about Jesus. He was rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. He said, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And then it jumps down and it says in verse 9, 1 Peter 2, 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Someone say, I'm chosen. Come on, I'm called. I'm anointed. And I'm worthy. Ooh, hallelujah. This is what I believe. When you look at this, it said about Jesus that he was chosen by God, but he was rejected by man. Listen, we're going to live in those two realities. Rejected by man, but chosen by God. But Jesus chose to not draw his identity from rejection. He chose to draw his identity from being chosen. And I'm telling you today, God chose you before the foundation of the world. God has redeemed you by his blood. God has forgiven your sins, washed away your past. And he took off the old dirty robes of unrighteousness and he clothed you with Christ Jesus. And Christ is on assignment today telling you that you're valuable, that you're worthy. Some people say, I feel broken. I feel like he doesn't love me. I feel like I'm not worthy. I feel like this and that and this, whatever. And all of these thoughts have come through all of our heads. But today I'm asking you to step out of that and to choose to believe the gospel, that God is for you. And if God is for you, who can be against you? Amen? Come on, I want to pray for you. Maybe, Anna, you can come and this is what I want to do. Let's stand together. I wasn't originally planning to go here, but as we began to worship, I felt the love of God just start flooding into the room. And I thought, oh, God wants to love some people today. He wants to pour out his love on some of us today. Here's the scripture. I just quoted it to you. Romans 8:31. What shall we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? Now watch this. If you are against yourself, then you're actually against God, because God is for you. I want you to catch that. If you're fighting against yourself, if you're living with self-rejection, self-hatred, self-disappointment, and you're against yourself, you're not just against yourself, you're against God, because God is for you. Let's choose to be on God's side. I'd rather be on God's side. God is for me, then I want to be for me too. God loves me, then I'll choose to love me too. God forgives me, then I'll forgive me too. Are you with me today? If God chooses me, then I'll choose me too. If God thinks I'm valuable, then I think I'm valuable too. I'm telling you, there's some people who've gone through some really, really tough stuff. I don't know who this is. This may be someone in here. It's like almost like someone went through a divorce. And because of the trauma of that situation and even the pain of that, you thought, even after it, you're not worthy. That God doesn't love you anymore. I know you know it in your head. God loves you. But it hasn't settled here, because in here, you think, well, I was rejected, or I was just wounded, and if he's not with me anymore, or she's not with me anymore, then it must mean that God doesn't want to be with me either. I'm telling you, this morning, God is raising up the army, but as we're getting raised up, he wants to do an identity shift, and he wants to heal the wounds in our hearts. He wants to take the rejection off, and he wants to put his love on the inside. He wants to take the wounds and begin to heal. Just bow your heads with me. Father, I thank you for everyone who's in this room today. You wouldn't take us in this realm of worship and in this anointing if you didn't want to bring healing. And I know we're going to see miracles and healing physically, but right now I know you want to put healing on the inside of our hearts. If you're in this place and you're saying, you know what, I have dealt with, maybe in my heart there's been self-dislike or self-hatred, or you felt the rejection of a divorce, you felt the pain of that trauma, and you're saying, I need God's love to come and heal. If you're saying, yes, I've dealt with these issues of rejecting myself. If you've rejected yourself, or if you're actually in this place and you don't like yourself, God wants to heal you today, and God wants to touch you with his love. If you're here today and you need God's love to heal your heart, I want you just to put your hand up and I want to pray for you. Just be bold and just put your hand up and I want to pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. If that's you, I want you to make a bold step. And I want you just to come and just come to the altar this morning. And my wife and I are going to pray for you. I need you to just make a bold step. If you lifted up your hand, please just come. If there's any wounds in your heart, and we're going to pray all together. Just come. Just let the love of God. Father, thank you. Let the love of God come. Just let the love of God come. Let the love of God come. Let the love of God come. I know there's probably more of us, and sometimes we're more afraid to come to the front because other people are going to see. But you know what? Who cares? Because our identity is not from other people's opinions. It's from God. just come. Here, just come up a little bit more to make room for those who are behind you. And I'm going to lead you all in a prayer, and then we're going to pray for you individually. But today what we're doing is we're choosing to accept that Christ accepts us. We're choosing to accept that God loves us and He values us. I'm telling you, that spirit of Belial is going to break off of your life today. That spirit has been trying to tell you that you're worthless for too long. And I'm telling you, it's a lie from the devil. And I'm going to break its power right now. I'm telling you today, God chose you. He chose you. Even if you've been hurt by church, I know you're in church today, and that might be weird to say out loud, but some of us have been hurt by church. Some of us have been hurt even by religion. God wants to heal that too. If you've been hurt by church, if you've been hurt by religion, if you've been hurt by divorce, if you've been hurt by fear, if you've been under this lie, we come to you, Father, now in the name of Jesus, and I lay your people before you, God. I thank you that you break the lie of rejection because we are accepted in the Beloved. I want you to pray this prayer with me out loud. Just say, Father God, come on, say it with me. Father God, I come to you now. I believe that you delight in me. I believe that you love me, and I believe that I am valuable. I believe Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. Forgive my sins. You are my Lord and my Savior. And I receive your forgiveness. And because you forgive me, I choose to forgive all those who've hurt me and to forgive myself. Let's say that. Say, I forgive myself. I let the past be the past. Come and heal my wounds. I'm going to pray for you, Lord. I thank you that the sting of rejection comes off now in Jesus' name. Now in Jesus' name. And I take authority over every spirit of Belial that has tried to torment your people. Every spirit that's trying to tell them that they're worthless. In the name of Jesus, I break your power now in Jesus' name. And I command you, lift off now. Loose them now in Jesus' name. I break every lie of rejection. I break every lie of abandonment. And I break every lie of shame now in Jesus' name. I'm telling you, guilt says that you did something wrong, but shame says that you are something wrong. And I'm telling you, the truth today is, even if you did something wrong, the blood of Jesus forgives you. And you are not something wrong. You are chosen by God. You are forgiven of your sins. And you are accepted in the Beloved. And right now, in Jesus' name, we take authority over every lie. They begin to crumble now. Father, right now, just fill them with your love. Just begin to lay hands. We're going to just pray for you guys. Just keep receiving. Lord, we release a fresh baptism of the love of God. We release the fresh baptism of the love of God now. Take it. Take it. Take it. The love of God. Every thorn from the devil, we pull them out now. In Jesus' name. God, everything that would try to say we're less than, it's not true. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are loved with an everlasting love. We are accepted in the beloved. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, we just release the presence of God. Woo! Take it. Woo! Take that and cheat. Now that's the oil. Wow. That's fresh oil coming down right there. That's fresh oil coming down right there. In Jesus' name. Woo! Shatarabasonde. Let that come. Right there. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Rokotelebeku satarabaka shokroboku sevremendiante. Reketelebeku sha. Right there. Just we brush it all off. Brush it off. Yeah, right there. Take that love. In Jesus' name. Woo! Fill him. Fill right there. Fill with the love of God. Fill him with the love of God. Fill him. God, thank you that you mark him today in Jesus' name. Oh, Raka. And if you're out there, just pray. Just stretch your hands out and pray for them in the Spirit. Just ask God to fill them right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Touch. 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 Let the love of the Father, the love of the Father just fill. Touch in Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Just right here with the cross on your just open your hands to the Lord. Tell me your name. Eliana. Lord, I thank you for Eliana. I thank you that this is her day. God, today that you fill her with the love of God. This is what I sense. It's almost like no matter how many walls have been built in your life, to God, it's like what we sing about. There's no wall he won't kick down, no lie he won't tear down, because he's coming after you. And I just feel like it's like paper walls. It's nothing to God. And God's love is going to begin to crash in. And I see, like, in this last season, it's almost like you've prayed a prayer similar to this of saying, God, if you're really real, I need to know. And if you really love me, I need you to tell me. And I feel like God is just letting you know today, yes, yes, and yes, and yes. I've chosen you. I love you. I'm with you. I'm for you. And I'm telling you it's almost like, I don't know if this makes sense to you, but it's almost like there are so many different things that it's almost like you've experimented with maybe different belief systems or different types of things. And it's almost like, it's like God saying, no matter what you've done and no matter what you've gone through, God says, from the beginning to the end, I never changed my thoughts. I never changed my love for you. I choose you. The Lord says to you today, I choose you. And God says, you're going to see in this next season where it felt like you knew you should have run after him, but it felt like you couldn't. God says, you're going to begin to see in this next season the chains are going to begin to fall off, and you're going to begin to run after God with such a passion. And as you begin to move, God says there's going to be such a shift that happens that you're going to begin to run, and you're going to experience freedom like you never have before. And it's Hebrews 12:2. It says, we throw off the weights and the sin that easily entangles us to run the race with perseverance. This is your verse. God says, you're going to begin to run, and all those things are going to begin to fall off, and you're going to begin to encounter the love of God in a way that you've never experienced before. It's starting today, and it's going to be like wave after wave after wave after wave that encounters the presence of God. And so, Lord, we just pray over Eliana that from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, that you would baptize her with your perfect love. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And I just felt like for you here up front, okay, if you want to someone translate or whatever, whoever can, don't know where. Can someone translate what I'm saying? Can you help someone translate for her? Yeah, that's fine. I'll go slower. Thank you, Lord. I feel like God has a calling, and He's gonna. I feel like you're gonna be like, it's like a social justice. Like, I see you helping to rescue girls. Like, pulling them out of, like almost like trafficking, but I. Yeah, it's like that, but it's like they've, like girls who have given themselves away. God says He's going to use you to pull them out of that. And I feel like God's saying to you, your testimony, God's going to use your testimony to help rescue others. It's like, I don't know your story, but it's some of the things that you've gone through is other people are going to be encouraged by. Yeah, and your testimony is going to be an encouragement, because if God could do it for you, then God will do it for them. The presence and the power of God. Ooh. And I'm telling you, it's like in the realm of like Hollywood and like actresses, it's like that industry, God's gonna use you to help people there. And that, with like actresses and people who are on the screen. So we just release the power of God over you now. Power in Jesus' name. Power in Jesus' name. We just declare. God says you're worthy. God says you are worthy. And you are valuable. He's taking away the old. He's putting on the new. You are chosen. You are accepted. And you are valuable. You are forgiven of your sins. And I just feel like God wants to tell you the past is the past. We let it go. And we move into the destiny of God. Just put your hands out all over the place. Yeah. Lord, we receive your love today. And Lord, we thank you for a fresh baptism of the love of God. Thank you that you fill us with the love of God. Thank you, Lord God, that you fill us with perfect love. Just take a moment and just receive. And just say this. Say, Father, pour out your love on me. Take that. Someone here with just pain right here on the right side of the neck, goes down. Who's that? Is that, come here, man. You too? Can you come over here real quick? This is practice for tonight, okay, guys? This right here? Right here, there? Okay. And what about the same thing? Okay, you guys ready? Pray for him. God's gonna heal him, okay? Can you help me over here, bro? You guys go here, you guys go here. They can come up here. Here, bro. Just put your hand right here. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Come on, come here. Get him right here. All right, just thank you, Lord. Just say in Jesus' name. Come on, you guys gotta. Okay, let me pause real quick. You gotta speak to it like it's not allowed to be there, like it's a bad dog. Okay? You know, like bad dogs trying to bite at you, you're like, get out of here. That's how we speak to the pain, okay? So we're gonna speak to the pain and tell it to get out of his body, because that's what we do. It's not allowed to be here. Okay, guys? So just say, in Jesus' name. Say, in Jesus' name, I command pain, get out. Healing, come. Be made whole. We welcome the Holy Spirit to go through this body. We command full mobility. Be healed in Jesus' name. All right, have them test it out. Try to move around, see what's happening. Come on, man. How's that? How's your neck? It's loosening up. How's your neck? No more pain? How much? Okay. So stuff starts happening. Let's go again. Okay. Get him again. It's cracking. Need a little more? Is the pain there or is it gone? Almost gone. Come on, thank you, Jesus. It's loosening. Come on, thank you, Lord. All right, thank you, Lord, for what you began. Just say, thank you, Lord, for what you began. And now we believe for the completion. So right now, in Jesus' name, all the pain, get out. Go, and healing come. We release healing virtue in these bodies in Jesus' name. All right, test it out again. You felt it, bro?
So tense, it's gone.
You came in, it was so tense, and now what?
It's gone.
Come on. Thank you, Jesus.
I was standing with my neck sideways, but my head wanted to get in.
But right now, no more, huh? Come on. Thank you, Jesus. What happened, bro? What happened? Was there pain here and there? Or the pain is gone.
Huh?
Is the pain gone right here?
Yes.
Come on. Thank you, Jesus. That's just the appetizer for tonight, okay? We're gonna do some more of that tonight, and I believe God's gonna just do that. So just lift your hands one more time. Lord, thank you for what you've began to do here this morning. Thank you, Lord God, for the love of God filling us, that the righteous are as bold as lions. And God, thank you that we are who you say we are. We are not rejected and abandoned and worthless. We are valuable, accepted, confident, and righteous because of what Jesus has done for us. Today, we take on our identity in Christ. And today, we walk as bold as lions. And God, we thank you that as you raise up the army of the Lord, we will walk confidently because we know who we are. In Jesus' mighty name, if you agree, shout amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, guys.